Hi and welcome back to another episode of Reese Garage Podcast. And today we are here with yet another video. And hey, we have here with us Mr. Ram Kesavan. Ram.
Hi, Gwen. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Good.
And we have been used to this quarantine, and it has been like over 2 months, and we are entirely running our business and, you know, like taking care of all sorts of things digitally. So a lot of things have happened in the past few weeks, and we have to talk about a lot of things right now. And today what I thought of discussing is during this pandemic, when the entire nation went to lockdown, the entire country went to lockdown, the only things that people needed was to get things delivered to them to their homes without being, you know, like them going out. So logistics played a crucial part in this scenario. So we'll talk about that for a scenario.
Okay.
So what do you think, because once I remember back in college, I think one of the CEOs from DHL or Blue Dart came to our college.
And, Blue Dart.
Blue Dart came to our college, and he was telling something, and they were asking to the students for, you know, like a Q&A session, and I asked this question where I asked them, like, do you think in any point of time there'll be only three entities, where it'll be manufacturing and logistics and you know, like the consumer. And at that time this question was way ahead, because that is the time where Amazon came into play and this Prime subscription came into play, and he was very sure that this is going to happen. And right now with this pandemic, it has become a, you know, like a norm or something like that. So what do you think this logistics part, you know, like you have been dealing with a lot of small businesses and, you know, like international exports. So how, you know, like important do you think logistics is in business?
So logistics is one of the main parts of business. Without logistics, nothing would exist, because you cannot create everything at one place, like whatever you want. You cannot, you know, decentralize everything and create it at one place and give it to all the people.
Mm-hmm.
People right now have experienced a lot of new things, are experiencing new things through digital social media platforms and everything. So they will want, they will have the craze or crave for wanting new things. So logistics is the only thing that can help them. Let it even, what do you say, not just goods, even if you want to travel.
Right.
That is also a kind of logistics. It is going to take you as the goods and go if you want to explore new places. So logistics is part of every business, not just manufacturing per se. It is there in every business. I don't think any business is going to work without logistics.
Mm-hmm.
So even I think digital logistics has been increasing right now. So wiring things, so softwares being wired have increased recently.
So we are also sending files to the internet, so which is also a kind of like logistics. Like we design something here and we deliver to the client, so that is also going to be part of, you know, like transporting things from one place to another. And you know, like when you see logistics as a pattern, and when everyone was like scared of, you know, like the virus being spread to different people from one place to another, and it was very strict during the initial stages of the lockdown. But after some times, you know, like companies like Swiggy, Zomato, you know, like they, you know, like tried to understand what are the basic protocols that needs to be taken to make sure that the delivery is very safe without the interruption of any contamination that happens with the person who is going to deliver the product. So, and these people put all their people even at this hardest time where the spread was huge. So do you think these companies wanted this to, you know, like be a part of their strategy, or are they, you know, like just doing it because there is no other way to do it?
I think there is no other way. They are revenue drivers, one of the basic revenue drivers, and also the consumers, the people were in need of this support.
Yes.
So it is a risk that everybody were taking. Even the person who is ordering is taking the risk of getting it from another person. So the risk was very mutual here. But I think because of this logistics and looking at this pandemic, we would be very ready for the next pandemic that's going to come. We are seeing all this delivery through drones, driverless cars.
Right.
So when all these things come, imagine a next pandemic.
And people will be ready
all
for everything.
Facilities available with us.
Right.
I think a lockdown and you have good delivery system, nothing is going to spread.
Right.
We will be very much ready for the next pandemic, I guess. So I think technology here is helping, would be helping us a lot.
So this necessity is, you know, like being the mother of new inventions to come.
Correct. So very, very, very true. People would put in a lot of money, a lot of big companies are going to do a lot of research in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Elon Musk has been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mahindra has been doing it in India. L&T has been doing it.
Right.
Ashok Leyland is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So all companies, I think Ford, all car manufacturing companies are trying to get into driverless cars. Ola, Uber, Amazon is trying to do people-less delivery through drones.
Right.
So I think once this happens, like I remember Bill Gates saying in one speech, I'm not sure if we would be ready for the next pandemic. I think, no, we will be ready for the next pandemic if we are going to go on the right digital track.
Right, right, right. So, for example, if you take, you know, like logistics as one of the most important parts of any businesses that, you know, like deal with manufacturing or be it like the services put here, these companies that delivered products to them, they, you know, like they formed a union of, you know, like community of people where it was not just Dunzo, it was not just Swiggy, or it was not just Zomato. These people came and worked together just for, you know, like making sure there are a lot of essentials that are being you know, like delivered to the people. So there would have been medicines, there would have been, you know, like emergency, you know, like remedies. People just needed to, you know, like get stuff from one place to another. So what do you think of this business, you know, like what is called the business friendship at this hard times? So do you think this brought, you know, like but basically if you see, these companies could have been, you know, like very competitive and aggressive on this pricing. They could have, you know, like hyped their pricing and, you know, like made larger margins. But I've seen a lot of companies that have, you know, like actually promoted other delivery people also, other brands also. So do you think it was very a good of a move, or do you think it was just a marketing strategy?
So I think the right way to answer this question is, so I follow a page called Sustainable Human.
Right.
There, I recently saw a post on their Instagram feed which said the biggest person affected by the capitalism is a day-to-day wage person.
Right. Mm.
He is forced to work, and mm-hmm. his force comes from the capitalistic pyramid that we have built, the need to buy a car or need to have a home, mm-hmm. need to pay rent or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a comment right below saying, I have been a daily wage worker for the past 26 years.
Okay.
And I don't think this, it is because of the capitalistic need I have been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I felt purpose in doing it. I wanted to give to the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of money. So I think right now you use the word community when you said they formed a community.
Right.
So all these people, the delivery, the logistics people especially to say, they formed a community during this pandemic time. It was one of, you know, during regular times, it would have been really the Porter's spy force war that they would have been into. But it was not effective this time. They had to form community, they had to form coalitions and work together to, you know, benefit themselves and also the people whom they are serving to. And when I say community, all these people who served, like they are like COVID warriors.
Mm.
And I'm sure rather than just about money, it would have been a sense of purpose that would have been there
for
them.
They literally became the essential workers and they wanted to like give back to the community.
They wanted to give back. Perfect. So that is what that would have been, what would have been running in their minds rather than just money. And so I think it would have been going from bottom of the pyramid till the top of the pyramid. This mindset would have come worked with around, like, you know, some percentage of the workforce in any organization. So all these people come together, form this community, are trying to help the bigger community.
Right.
So business, at the end of the day, you know, as we always say, can serve, be the actual server to the community.
Okay, okay. So if you take, you know, like ambulance as an, you know, like scenario, they also, you know, like act as logistics because they take the sick people from their place to the hospitals. And I remember seeing one of the videos that went viral on the internet where an ambulance driver talks to one of his parents, like the dad talks to him saying, you don't need to do this, you can, because you are exposed to the most, you know, like deadliest diseases that we have known so far. Why do you have to do it? We'll survive anymore, just come back. But this person says, I don't care about anything. I just want to, you know, like do my part for the community. And that comes from within. That is not just forced, because he doesn't want to earn money at that time. So he sees a bigger purpose. So at that point, it is not even a company. This is the person that does all the work.
I think during this time, the people who made, I'm not sure, but a lot of people talking about are the politicians across, I think the state politicians in India have made a lot of money during this time. Yeah, but other than that, I think the business per se, they did not work for money. They actually worked for the community.
Right. The brand that they built at this time will be very huge when they come out of the lockdown. So people will be, because Asian Paints will have a, you know, like ultimate mark in history where they literally raise their, you know, like the salaries when.
Yeah, we remember. I think I always remember Ola during Chennai floods. I remember a boat
with
the name Ola on it. So I think surely during this pandemic, many people will remember all the delivery boys, all the brands they carried. More than the food, more than anything, right? It would have not been a delicious food, like, you know, when you want to order to Swiggy, it is always mostly for your tongue.
Okay.
But now, for most of the bachelors staying in cities who are locked down, unable to go back to their cities, go back to their hometown, you know, Swiggy right now would have been their basic necessity.
Okay.
So, more than anything, right now it would have been, you know, that feel of necessity has been provided by the business.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
let's come back to the logistics handled.
Right now, the international logistics part is entirely stopped. It's like there is no transporting ships from one country to another, and there is no import or export happening. And one of my cousins actually is stranded in Singapore, and he was a marine engineer. So right now, he's out of job. And he also feels that if the corona lockdown is not going to be, you know, like stopped for the next 6 months, the company is going to stop paying them. So it is also going to affect that part of the people where people have gone to different countries and they are not able to come back and be with the family. So do you think this export and import is having a big toll on the economy rather than just the businesses running?
It does. So export and import is a very big runner of the economy. It is one of the biggest gears in any economy.
Right.
You have to. India's, you know, many countries' GDP depends upon exports. China's entire economy depends on its exports. So that's why we see all this economic war that is happening right now. China, US, China, India alliance. So all this thing is because of this economic war that is happening. So international logistics is very important. You cannot stop that. Again, like as I said, you cannot produce everything everywhere and people want everything. Mm-hmm. We have consumers who want everything. So, and you cannot make everything everywhere. There are particular places where you can make things. Mm-hmm. So it has to work that way.
Right. Because this exports and imports, there would have been, you know, like we would have been exporting food, you know, like clothing, you know, like other things that are not essential. But some countries would have imported, you know, like even the grains and some stuff that they don't get in their country. So which for a longer time, if it's done, so they may eventually run out of grains or something like that. So that is also going to affect the livelihood of the people where they will not be able to get access to food. So is it happening somewhere? Because you read the news always, and do you see that happening anywhere? That has been, you know, like a part of what this pandemic has brought
up. I think most countries are very clear in keeping food stock for a minimum of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Most countries surplus for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if the pandemic is going to go much longer, yeah. But right now, no. I have seen some videos in Africa where people running behind food that is being supplied by the government. But I don't think it is that true because they have food. But they do have food. But I do not know why that happened. But I think it was in Cape Town in South Africa. It happened.
Because I saw a video in Chennai where, you know, like during the beginning of this lockdown, some families are coming and spreading out, you know, like food particles there, food products or food packages. But I don't think the situation is right now like that, because I think everybody has gone to their normalcy, even though the lockdown has not completely released. But do you think India has, you know, like reduction in like the number of surplus that we have, because given the population and the, you know, like imbalance in the economic classes?
Yeah, sure. This initial 40 days of lockdown that we had, the hard lockdown where nothing was allowed except for the essentials, bare essentials.
Okay.
I think during those times, and the government also provided a lot of food grains and everything to the people at one point of the lowest part of the pyramid. So during that phase, we lost a lot of our crops, and then we have this this attack, and now we have the cyclones. But sure, we will be able to replenish our stocks within the next 1 or 2 years if we are going to cut down on our imports. It will be affecting the toll on the whole when you're going to look at the earth, the globe, because we have been working as one full machine supplying to the entire country. When now, right now, some parts of the machine are not working and are unable to supply materials to the other part. So there will be problems, but it will be sorted out soon. It has to be sorted out. We will have to come back to normal, but normal this time is going to be very different. We will be seeing a lot of new technologies. A lot. Every country would be seeing a lot of new technologies. I think India will become like China. China will become like the US.
US will go down.
US might try to do something very new. They might come up with artificial intelligence. They might come up with... We don't know.
Right.
Like, I don't think that is a down in technology. Economically, yeah, they might go down. But technology-wise, I don't think nobody would want to go down.
Right.
We'll all be putting more efforts on our technology to get back what we have lost during this economic crisis that we are going to face.
Right. And I think a lot of people have, you know, like, started understanding that, you know, like, since logistics is not going to be there, we have to get things faster. So we were talking about Elon Musk. So Elon Musk has a company called the Boring Company. So what this Boring Company does is they build, you know, like, they bore underground, and they're trying to build the Hyperloop. So, and I think he recently tweeted about this, where he said, like, entire route is covered right now. So all he has to do is, you know, like, start a, like, have a thing planned, and he can start you know, like, designing this entire project where this first trial can be done during this time itself. So maybe when we come out of this lockdown, we'll be able to have a better logistics. So even if this I think this goes around in 1,000 km/h or something like that, the speed is, like, amazingly, like, superhuman. So even if people can't, you know, like, do the thing, it can be used for logistics, and it can, you know, like, make sure that you get faster deliveries, you can get, you know, like, better, you know, like, delivery time for turnaround for companies and manufacturing stuff.
Correct. There is going to be a lot of technological changes when we are going to come out of this crisis. Like, more than this pandemic or everything, but this pandemic gave way to this new economic dip.
Right. So because we would have never seen from this perspective, we would have not been, you know, like, expecting this perspective at all. So this gave us a, you know, like, way to do that.
So this economic dip will give us this, you know, rise to this new technologies that are going to come. And this technological rise is going to be very different in various parts of the world. It is going to be very different in various parts of the world.
And if you take this, we are talking about this driverless transportation and, you know, like, driverless logistics. And there is always prediction that there are going to be 40 lakh jobs that are going to be lost alone in US, in a country where the population is much lesser than India. And if you take India as an example, you know, logistics plays a very crucial part, because we have trucks, lorries, and other stuff. And we also will be losing a lot of jobs here. And do you think electricity, with the, you know, like, thing that we have now, where the fuel prices are, you know, like, decreasing, and there has to be a need where electricity has to be brought into the country, or in, like, into the logistics or transportation in general, do you think this job lose will be, you know, like, you know, like, what I say, compensated with some other jobs that are going to rise for people who have only a specific set of skills, but they can't, you know, like, switch to another thing?
Above an age, like 40, 45 plus, job change, job shift is going to be very hard.
Very difficult, right. Mm-hmm.
Learning new skills is going to be a very hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
But below that, people will have to change. They have to accept change. They will accept change. Some of them will be forced into change. Some of us will like the change and go for the change. It will change. So people will look for new opportunities. People will look for new jobs. People will want to give back to the community. So at the end of the day, everybody will find something. But we will have a huge, you know, 3 to 4 years of heavy unemployment, where people will all be confused, not knowing what to do. There is going to be a lot of yelling. There is going to be a lot of shouting. There is going to be a lot of, you know, protest. Anarchy, riots, protests. A lot of things are going to happen, but we will find a path.
Right.
We always find a path, so we will find a path. And I believe this path when you're going to say it about energy, people are going to go a lot into renewable energy. We have been talking a lot about climatic change recently, and we are seeing the impact of it in big numbers.
Right.
So people are going to put a lot of money into renewable energy, as you said, electric cars, e-cars, emission-free cars, so lesser emission vehicles. I think would be the first step to it. And I think the near future, we'll be having cars that run on pure renewable energy. So right. Even the electricity that is going to be given to these cars will be so clean that we would be generating it from renewable sources.
Right. And that is where the future of logistics is going around right now. Because we'll have to redesign if you're going to not give jobs for the drivers who are actually going to manually drive it. If it's going to be some new technology that's going to disrupt the market, it's going to be like entire thing that we can use to change the entire system and come up with new plans. Where we actually
change is also going to take a lot of time. So when you want to say 40 lakh drivers, I don't think it's going to be 40 lakh drivers just like that.
It's going to be gradually decreasing.
That's going to be gradual things. People are going to do a little bit of trials. The change is going to be slow. It is not going to be like
we'll
so
always
fun.
Have that early adopter, the laggards and everything.
Not every business is going to try it initially.
Right.
Will be skeptical about it first time. So
the logistics company will use this as their CSR, where they tell that we are using renewable energy to fund this entire thing and everything. Because I think Google has this entire thing where their entire electricity is supplied by only solar energy. So they are literally having no electricity supplied by the government. So they are self-sustaining. And I also read that if marine things is not going to start up in the next few months, it's going to be very hard for import and export and the growth of other GDPs. Because we talk about community between delivery and logistics companies. So if there is no import and export, it's going to be lack of community bonding between the countries that we want, where very good with.
I think certain countries have opened their ports.
Which countries right now?
I'm not sure, but I think from India, a lot of goods have started to go to Latin America, Africa.
But it'll be with very, very high quarantine checks and everything, right?
Lot of sanitation is happening. So a lot of checks are going on. Because it has to run. The economy has to run no matter what. So that is one thing that we have all understood during this lockdown. We cannot, do nothing and be that. We cannot all be Buddhas for 40 days. All of us for Buddhas for 40 days is not going to work for the globe, not going to work for the economy, not going to work for how man is looking at man.
Right.
It is a very tough. I see everybody out running back, wanting to go back to their old natural life, even though they know there is something outside, they know there is something that is very scary, they know that there is something that is ready to kill them. They're like, it is better I'm not there inside. It's better I'm outside with the community and do my part for the community.
Right. So if you take this transportation as a whole scenario, I remember this one thing where I didn't know what quarantine was when I was in my UG. So I did agriculture, and in one of the classes they talk about plant pathology. So apparently you can't carry a diseased plant to a different place in a flight or any mode of place where you transport from one place to another country. So there I used to hear this word quarantine, but I was not sure what quarantine meant. So it was basically introduced to me as a plant. But right now I understood that humans also are going to be quarantined. So this is where I understood this.
But this logistics of plant, it is not just plants. I think from historical, when we see bees were not part of many countries.
What is that?
Bees, honeybees.
Honeybees, right? Okay.
Honeybees were taken to many countries through ships.
Right. I think cockroaches were transported like that. Like a lot of insects or new things will be carried out like that only. Right.
Lot of things, and I think there was an incident in Australia where they had a lot of rodent problems.
Okay.
So they bought in, I think, sparrow or something so that it kills the rodent.
Okay. So the predator population.
So then what happened? The predator became so strong that there were no prey and there were too much of predators.
Okay. So they were not able to control the proliferation of this predator.
So okay. All of these things happen when there is logistics. So these are all the bad things of logistics that we to put.
Right. Because what this pathologists do when they quarantine is, because, for example, there can be a problem with rice or, you know, like wheat in your country. And it might not be a disease that is in another country. But when you take a rice plant and you take this disease along with it and you put it in their field, that disease is introduced there and it becomes an epidemic or something like that. I think there was something which caused the potato famine or something. I think it is like,
you know, how it spreads from human to human. Genetically, biological, what do you say? Biologically, during germination, during pollination or cross-pollination that happens within plants. So the genetic of the disease spreads again and again. And then it becomes a part of that country also, which it would have never had if this transport has not happened. Mm-hmm. I think that is one reason they test everything, especially grains, as you said, seeds.
Mm-hmm.
All seeds are tested, all animals are tested, so that they are one thing that carry a lot of diseases.
Right.
Something new that has been not seen in the new area that they are going to go. So there would be no other, naturally no other resistant thing to it to fight against it.
Right.
So, for example, I think I am seeing, I'm not sure if the statistic is correct, or the data provided by India is correct. The rate of recovery for COVID is better in India as compared to other European countries.
Right.
It may be because of the immunity that we have gained through other things, that flu is very, day-to-day event here. We don't worry much. Mm. We don't care much like the other European countries. They are very health conscious.
They have been used to using sanitizers for a long time. They have been washing their hands for a long time.
Maybe we might have had a lot of coronavirus in our hands, and our body would have already had a lot of immunobodies against various forms of coronavirus. So,
mm-hmm.
in many people, I think the reaction to the antibody reaction and antibody formation for this disease is faster as compared to people in other countries. Maybe it can be a possibility.
Right. I understand. Okay. So, what do you want to say when, if someone asks, what do you think the future is going to be of logistics if this situation is going to be there for a long time?
So, within the next 10 years,
mm-hmm.
especially in developing countries like India, logistics is going to become faster and cheaper.
The internal logistics or the export also?
Internal logistics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The logistics inside the country is going to become more effective.
Right. And I think we also spoke to this, Navatech, where they were trying for waterways and they're trying to, connect to all the rivers and, provide waterways. That can also be a part of transportation or logistics.
Waterways, different modes of transportation might come.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to become very effective. It is going to become cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to become fast.
It's going to eliminate human intervention also.
So that is going to happen in developed countries.
Okay.
So in the next 10 years, they would see a lot of rise in automated logistics. I think the word would be automated logistics. Your logistics would be automated. Your logistics would be data-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Your logistics is not going to have any human intervention. It is going to work with AI.
Okay.
But in developing countries with population like in India, it'll take another decade.
Right.
We will surely come there.
Right. So we'll start
learning like from Africa, in a continent like Africa, they don't have roads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think AI can understand all those things yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they try to really collect data for now and try to build something.
Within the next decade, they might change into a country like India. They have better logistics infrastructure.
Right.
India is right now building a very good logistics infrastructure under this BJP government. I'm seeing all the smart city plans, roads, bridges everywhere. So our logistics is going to become very effective. Very, very effective.
Okay, Ram. So with that positive note, I think we can end this episode. And I think we talked a lot about, having a balance between logistics, politics and economy. So I think this will be a very interesting podcast for the listeners. So thank you so much, Ram. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the show. And we'll see you again in another video. Until then, this is Ram and Rajivan signing off. Bye-bye.
Bye.